enjoyed the service so far. And enjoyed the Sunday school. I had a pretty good time this week getting up and trying to read a little bit. I've been meditating, and you were talking about chewing the cud earlier. You know, the Bible compares reading the Word. It uses a word called meditation. Meditate on the Word. And if you think about that word, when you research it out, it means to ruminate. Anybody ever heard that word, ruminate, on something? You just turn it over and over in your head. Well, I did some research one time for a book I was writing. And when I studied the root of that word, it goes back to something in the cow stomach called the ruminant. And that's what it's talking about, is chewing the cud. Mentally processing and digesting what the word has to say. Just like a cow would chew its cud and digest it thoroughly. And I've had a little time this week to digest and chew over a little bit, a few things. And this scripture that I'll get into this morning really enlightened my eyes and really gave me some encouragement this week. So if you got your Bible, turn with me to chapter 4 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. Sometimes I don't know what to read. I'll just go to Proverbs or Psalms. A lot of good wisdom in those books. And I was reading Proverbs this week. A couple of times during the week, I was able to get up early enough and just sit there and look outside the window and read a little bit and meditate and think. And this is what the Lord put on my heart this week. And I thought for sure, I said, Lord, I think I'm going to have to preach this somewhere. And then Jerry asked me this morning, before he even asked me, I thought I already had an idea that I was probably going to be preaching anyway. So I've been thinking about that this week. And he asked me as soon as I got in here, you want to preach? I said, well, maybe. I said, I might could. I got a little seed. So Proverbs chapter 4, jump on down to verse 14 here. I just want to say how sweet a spirit it is this morning in the church. I don't know. I like it when the Lord moves in and you just have a peace about you. You don't have to worry about how the service is going to go.
Amen.
You don't worry about, you know, how many songs am I going to sing. You don't worry about what am I going to preach about. There's just a relaxation this morning that I really appreciate from the Lord. And I like it when that happens. Because so often as preachers, we get all nervous and wondering what we're going to preach about and what we're going to do and all this stuff. But the Lord's under control this morning.
Amen.
So I ain't even got to worry about it.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14. I hope this helps you this morning. The Bible says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more under the perfect day. And the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. A lot of good message in this passage here. Talked to Melissa about this earlier this week, about what the Lord had shown me, and I just can't get away from it. I just keep chewing on it. It's just so good. You know, sometimes you find, we were talking about food earlier, sometimes you just find that one food you just can't get enough of.
Mm-hmm.
We went with a writer's group that I attend. We decided for a Christmas party thing, we usually bring food and everything at the meeting place, but we decided we'd just go out and eat yesterday, and I got 3 heaping helpfuls of the hibachi grill at the Chinese place. Because I just couldn't get enough of it, Brother Ron. Love that stuff. And I ate until I was full, until my heart was content. But this is like the Word. The Bible says that the Word is much more precious than any food, any other food.
Amen.
It's more precious than honey, more precious than gold. And as I studied this, the one verse that popped out to me, I just kept going back to, I've got it highlighted here in my Bible. In verse 18 it says, but the path of the just is as the shining light. Not just any light. The shining light. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day.
Mm-hmm.
Then it says the next verse, the way of the wicked though is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I thought of when I was reading this? The Lord put in my heart that My path that I walk from day to day with Christ is lit up with so much brightness of Christ that there's no way that I could stumble in where I'm going.
Right.
I just thought that was so amazing that wherever I'm going, God has lit my path. And sometimes I stumble, though, because there's a few things that could happen. God has lit the way. He's lit the path. He's made it easy to walk therein because it's easy to see where you're going. But sometimes our eyes are closed to it. Sometimes we don't want to see it. Sometimes we get worried and we look at other things. That's another way. That's another reason. And sometimes we're looking somewhere else.
That's wrong.
And I don't know. I can't tell you how many messages I've preached where it all comes back to Peter on the water. It seems like everything I think about, it always comes back to Peter. Either walk in the water or sink in the water. But there's so many things in life that can be boiled down to that one moment. When Peter took his eyes off Christ, when he took his eyes off the pathway between him, the boat, and Christ out there on the water, he began to sink. He began to drift down. He began to have to call out for mercy, call out for help. Lord, save me! Because he took his eyes off the path to Christ. And it's so easy for us to do that. God has said, right here's the path. I've made it plain and easy for you to walk. I've made it to where you can see everything, every little rock, every little pebble, every stone that's in your way. A lot of times, we look on the other side and we think, well, that path over there looks a little bit less worn, a little bit more worn. It's paved over there. It's a little bit easier to walk over there, and next thing you know, we're tripping over stuff. Because we don't look at where we're going.
Amen.
In Deuteronomy, God was telling the Israelites how to walk with Him, and He said, don't look to the right, don't look to the left, but go straight on. Now, I think about them horses when they put blinders on them. They don't want them to see everything that's going on. They want them to focus at what lies ahead of them, amen? And us as Christians, we need to focus on what lies ahead. Don't need to be looking back and worrying about what's back there. God has lit up the path before us, amen. That path is shining more and more unto the perfect day if we'll just open our eyes, get our eyes focused on Him, and walk toward Him. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the calling, of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Amen. And he tells us to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set at the right hand of the Father.
Amen.
You can take this to the bank. Jesus would have never made it to heaven if He kept looking backward. Amen. He looked forward. Paul said, I'm going to forget the things which lie behind. Forgetting those things which are behind, I look forward, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. You know, there's a prize to win. Amen. A prize, Paul said, there is henceforth laid up for me a crown of righteousness, not only for me, but for all who love His appearing. Amen. I preached a little bit about the glorious appearing of the Lord last week at that church. I had a wonderful time, and I'm telling you what, we can have a wonderful time as a church this morning if we just look at the path that God has strolled out for us. Amen. A lot of times we're not satisfied with that path. Thank you, Lord. I think about Jeremiah over there. He said, take the old path, Brother Ron, and walk therein. And what you're going to find rest for your souls. Amen. You're going to find strength. Amen. But we find so many times, just like they did back then, the people today will say, we'll not walk therein. Amen. Don't want to have any part of it. They told Jeremiah one time, Jeremiah, I'll tell you what, he had some of the roughest people to deal with that you ever saw. They called him one time and they said, Jeremiah, we want you to tell us a word from the Lord. We want you to tell us the truth. What He says, we'll do. And he said, no, you won't do it. I know you won't do it. Yes, we will. Tell us what the word from the Lord is. We'll do it. He said, all right. He told him what it was. I forget exactly what it was, but he told him what it was. And they said, oh no, Jeremiah, that ain't from the Lord. He didn't say that. We're going to lock you up. And they put him in a dungeon where he's sunk down deep into the mire. Sometimes walking the path of the Lord, amen, it gets you in trouble with the world, amen. But I tell you what, God always has a way to get you out. He's always made a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Amen. We just got to walk the path of straight in there. He said the path was straight in there. Oh, amen. He said there's a broad way also. That way that looks like it's been paved with good intentions. That way that looks like it's been taken a little bit more. The path is more well worn. It doesn't look as dangerous sometimes. It doesn't look like you're going to trip over anything. But Jesus said, broad is the way and wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction. But straight is the way and narrow is the gate that leadeth unto life everlasting. Amen. And it says here that the path of the just is as a shining light. I'm glad that my path that I walk is illuminated. Amen. Sometimes I begin to wonder myself, Lord, what I need to do today. What do you want me to do here? What do you want me to do? And we just get so confused. We worry ourselves to death. And we just forget to see that God's already made the path well lit. Amen. You couldn't get to church here or to Bobby's tonight when it's dark if you didn't have lights. You didn't have headlights. I'll have some kind of lights to know where you're going. I mean, I know how to get to Bobby's. Been there all kinds of different times. Been have house services.
Yeah.
I've been to L.N.'s many different times. Had house services with L.N. and Betty. But I'm telling you, I don't care how good I know how to get to a place. If I don't have some kind of light to get there, I can't make it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
God said your path is well lit, son. Mm-hmm. What leads our path? What lights our path? Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. But also says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet.
Amen.
The light unto my path.
Yeah.
Psalm 119, I believe it might be verse 11.
That's
right. Yeah. Melissa, since you read that psalm yesterday, I said, well, you had a long one to go to because it's got about 160 verses in it. And in that chapter, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet.
Yeah.
A light unto my path. I'm telling you, this word right here, if you don't know what to do, pick this word up.
Yes.
This word is the best flashlight, better than ever ready, better than any other Magnum. I forget what the names of them are. But I'll tell you what, all you got to do is pick this thing up, read it,
that's right.
And it will lighten your path better, more and more into the perfect day.
Yeah.
I love to know that Christ has got the way prepared for me. He said, I'm going to a place, and I'm going to prepare a place for you.
Yeah.
Amen. If He went there, we know how to get there because of Him. He went there before. Yeah. All we got to do is walk in His precepts.
Amen.
People today in that are lost, they think, well, you got to do all these rules. You got to do all these other things, these thous and thou shalt nots. They don't realize that's a lie into your path.
Uh-huh.
It's not just a bunch of rules and stipulations to live by. That is a lie to guide you away from evil and toward righteousness. We just read that the path of the wicked is as darkness.
Yeah.
They don't even know what they're stumbling over. Mm-hmm. They don't know if it's a rock. They don't know if it's a pit of vipers. Many times the wicked out there, they'll be doing things that are of the world, and they don't realize it's going to come back to get them in the end. Mm-hmm. There's old sayings like, you play with fire, you're going to get burned. Play with snakes, you're going to get beat.
Amen.
I tell you what, you play with the world, you're going to end up dead.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Amen. But to get to God is eternal life through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Christ told them in John, there's a lot about light in the book of John. Amen. Christ is the light of the world. We know that. Then He's told us that we're the light of the world. But I was reading in John as well, and another verse that came to my mind when I was reading this, John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus spake to the disciples. He said, then spake Jesus unto them again, saying, I am the light of the world.
Amen.
He that followeth me, listen to that. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen. Now, if we're all in darkness, let's just say this whole building, the power went out, it was nighttime outside, but I whipped this out and did that right there. Now we have a light. It's a phone, it's a computer, it's a camera. Most important thing it is to me right now is a light. It's a flashlight. I can see where I'm going. And everybody will follow who has the light. Because that person knows where they're going.
Amen.
I mean, if I take out a light and I say, I'm going to go this way, who all wants to join me? I'd say not one person is going to say, I'll go this way and not have a light. I'm going to go this way. I'm going to do it my own way. Oh, how many times have you said, Lord, I want to do it my way?
Yeah.
You know the fast food slogan is, have it your way. Cindy said, David told John Ross, all right, old boy, eat that for Cindy. Have it your way.
Yeah.
You know, God sometimes says, all right, have it your way.
Yeah.
Man, hasn't that got you in all kinds of trouble?
Yeah.
I know it has me. Have it your way.
Amen.
That's the world's slogan right now. Have it your way. Don't worry about the diseases you could catch. Don't worry about the gutter you could end up in. Just have it your way.
Yeah.
That's the devil. Mm-hmm. People don't recognize that. Why? Because they're walking in darkness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't have a perfect light. You know Christ is the perfect light?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I got chill bumps all over me.
Amen.
He is the perfect light.
Yeah.
He's better than GE can make, come out with. Every time you go to the store, they got a different kind of light bulb.
Yes.
You ever notice that? We went this past week shopping for light bulbs. The biggest craze lately, well, a few years back, was those spirally pigtail light bulbs. CFLs, compact fluorescent lights. Oh, these will save you on your electric bill. These will last 9 to 10 years. I ain't never had one last past 3. And you can't give them a warranty because by then the box is gone, the receipt's gone. You can't say, well, I didn't. It's money gone. Well, we went to the store a couple weeks ago and I couldn't find hardly any of them things. They were gone. Now they got LEDs, luminescent lights. I don't know what the next crazy is going to be, but that's what they got now. But I don't care how good a light you come up with here on the earth, Christ is the best light. He's brighter than the sun.
Amen.
He's brighter than 1,000 suns. Amen.
Amen.
He created the sun.
Yeah.
Don't tell me Christ isn't a bigger light than that. Matter of fact, you go back to Genesis, Lot was like the second thing he created. Go back with me. Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Shouldn't be too hard to find. The very first book of the Bible. Let's see how long it takes before God gets the light. In the beginning, verse 1, God created the heaven and the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there was light. A lot of people have problems with that. I said, no, it didn't work out that way. Process had to take billions and trillions and quadrillion, gugillions of years. You ever notice every time you hear that, it's more and more and more? Every time you hear that, I heard a preacher say one time, whenever you hear those words, it took billions of years, think to yourself, long ago and far away, it's a fairy tale. God said, let it be done. It was done.
Yep.
God saw the light, it was good. God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now let me ask you a question. Which came first, light or darkness? Which one came first, light or darkness? I've just read this.
Darkness,
darkness came first.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we had to have light. You know, there's darkness here. Without light, there's darkness. You have to have light to make it not dark anymore.
Right.
Darkness is just default. That's the default state. Power goes out, it's going to get dark.
Yeah.
But He created light. Now notice this, He created light and darkness before He created the sun and the moon.
Yeah.
That came way on in verse 14 or so. We have the seas and all that being created before that. But God created the light. This just blows my mind if you think about it. That big old great sun that's in the sky. Somebody bigger than that made that. And that person that's got the whole world in his hands, we hear sung about in Sunday school and church, little kids saying, he's got the whole world in his hand. That one that made the whole world and has got the whole world in his hands is the one guiding my path.
Amen.
He's the one directing my path. Jerry said in Sunday school a while ago about sometimes, if I can't remember exactly how he put it, but he's talking about how the Lord just leads you, tells you to go somewhere. You don't know where you're going. You've got to trust the Lord. Why? Because he's got the flashlight. I mean, think about it. He's got the smartphone, if you want to call it that. He's the one that's got the candle. He's the one that's got the flashlight. He's got the spotlight. You can't go nowhere unless you're following the light. You're going to stumble, you're going to fall, you're going to make any progress, and more than likely you're going to make up a big circle. You ever seen any TV shows where the person's leading the pack and they say, "Oh, I know where I'm going, just follow me." Next thing you know, they're coming back to a landmark they've seen before. I know that. We've already been here. We were going in circles. Why? Because he don't know where he's going. Some people have a false light. They think they looks like the light, smells like the light, but it's not the light. They don't have Christ in them. You know, that's going to be so sad one of these days after a while when the Antichrist comes and people think they're seeing a light.
Yeah.
But they're not. Christ is the one true light. He's lighting our paths. So even when you think you don't know what to do, God's got it under control. He knows. So you've got to get your eyeballs on the path. Don't close them. Don't look a different direction. Don't say no. Delve into the light. Thy word is a light unto my feet.
That's right.
And a light unto my path. Way before electricity was ever invented. God invented that, by the way, not Thomas Jefferson. Not Benjamin Franklin. God invented electricity. We just found it. He led it to us. Way before that ever happened, they used to use old coal oil lamps. Oh, them lamps that you carry, you light them, and you carry them outside, and that was your flashlight. That's what he's talking about, because they didn't have flashlights back in the Bible. David said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." Mm-hmm. You know something about a lamp, it don't put out a whole lot of light. You just got to follow it every few steps or so, just as far as you can see ahead of you. There's a quote one time that said, you know, a car can only see maybe 300 feet ahead of you in the darkness and the headlights, but you can make the whole journey that way. I can only see 2 or 3 steps in front of me, but if I just follow that light, I can make the whole journey home following Christ. Sometimes the light seems so dim. You say, "Lord, I don't know what to do." Follow the light. Follow the light. You know, they say when people are on their deathbed, they see a light. And they say, "Go into the light. Go into that tunnel of light." The light's already here. You don't have to wait till you're dying to follow the light. Christ is the light.
Amen.
In John, we saw about John earlier. He said, "He that followeth me, the true light, I'm the light." Notice what he's saying. I'm the light. He that followeth me, I've got the light. I can see the path clearly. He'll not walk in darkness, but he'll have the light of life. He told Nicodemus, I find this interesting, because Nicodemus, how many remember Nicodemus came to Christ by night? It was a nighttime. And he told Christ, "You must be born." Everybody always remembers, "Oh, you must be born again. Oh, God so loved the world." But he gave Nicodemus a little bit of a rebuke there at the end. John chapter 3. Let's go down to verse about 19. He said, "This is the condemnation, that light has come in the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God." On the one hand, Nicodemus came by night. He didn't come by day. He didn't come in the light. He is a Jew, and the whole Jewish nation, their deeds were evil in the sight of God. But on the other hand, he came to the light. Yes, he came by night, but he said, "He that cometh to the light, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Nicodemus came to the light.
Amen.
So in his heart, he was truly interested in Christ. He wanted to be, to have what Christ taught. And then in John chapter 1, it said, after he says, the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh, in him was the light of life. In him was the life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
Amen.
The darkness don't have any idea. Next time you go out in the world and they say you're crazy, they say you're kooky for serving that Jesus, they don't understand.
That's right.
They're in darkness. They don't comprehend. They don't understand. Why? Because the things of God are spiritually discerned. And you can't see things spiritually unless the light is on. Unless you go to the light. I'm glad to know that God is lighting our paths as Christians. We don't have to walk in darkness. We go out indoors today. Physically, we may not know if we're going to go out to eat, if we're going to get up at home, if we're going to end up at home, or we're going to go see somebody, if we're going to go shopping for Christmas, grocery shopping. We might not know that, but that's not important. Spiritually, we know we're on a journey. We're on a journey to make heaven our home. And we're on a journey to hope that others and try to make others go to heaven with us. Our paths are lit. So next time you don't have a clue what to do, you're in despair, just remember Proverbs 4:18.
Amen.
Let me read it one more time. Proverbs 4:18 says that the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more under the perfect day. The Bible says a good man's steps are ordered by the Lord.
Amen.
God is directing your steps. You may not see the path very good, but you can make the journey, the whole journey that way.
Right.
Before this, I read a little bit before this because it noticed, it said that wicked people can't even sleep until they've done mischief. Their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. You know, in the darkness, there are things out there that are trying to get you. Jesus told Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith fail not.
Amen.
When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. There are things out there that want to get you, that want to bring you down, pull you down. And if you're in the darkness, you're vulnerable to that.
Amen.
But if you stay in the path of the light, those things can't touch you.
Mm-hmm.
Because Christ is guiding your footsteps and you're following the Master Shepherd. He's the sheep. He's the shepherd of the sheep. He's the door. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And He's the light that's guiding us home.
Right.
We've got to keep our eyes on Christ. Don't keep your eyes on what's going on in the world. I'm just so sick and tired of hearing about all this politics stuff going on. Nobody's thinking about Christ for Christmas. All they're thinking about what's going on at the border, what's going on over here, what's going on over there. I don't care about none of that stuff.
Right.
Yeah, I'm an American, proud to be an American. But some of the stuff America's gotten herself into, the Lord don't agree with. Don't have no part in it.
Yeah.
I want to be in the light.
Amen.
So that when chaos happens, I can be at peace.
Amen.
Knowing that none of it can touch me.
Amen.
Proverbs talks about that. None of it can touch you. And I'm glad that I've served one who is the light.
Amen.
Amen. Appreciate your time and attention. If you need to come to this altar, it's open. I personally don't feel a need to give an invitation. I feel everybody in here. That's between you and the Lord. I'm not your judge. I hope that everything's all right with you. If it's not, do you have an open invitation here to come? But I don't feel like getting a song or anything like that. If you need to come, you can come. This time I'm going to turn it back over to the pastor.